Good evening. Good evening. Can we just give an applause to the band, please? It was quite amazing, was it not? There's nothing like the presence of God. Nothing like it. It is wonderful to be here this evening. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Christelle Meiberg. I'm the wife of Anton Meiberg. Thank you, Mariet. I work at the Shofar Church. I'm mainly involved with women's ministry, but I'm also involved in a couple of other things. And I've been in this year, I've been in Shofar for 20 years. And it is the most amazing privilege to stand here and just to see what God has done in our midst. It is wonderful. It is wonderful to be able to serve you with the word. I think for me personally, there is no greater privilege than to be able to do that. So I have a message that I want to bring this evening, and I'm very excited about it. And I'm going to speak about clinging together. So won't you lock arms with the two people next to you? And cling a bit. Cling a bit. Cling. Okay. Thank you. This was a prophetic act. You know, people use big words and half of the time we have no idea what they are saying. This was a prophetic act. This was doing in the physical what we are going to do in the spiritual and in the flesh and in everything. And the message that I want to bring this evening is very simple. We can all understand it, but profound if we are going to apply it in our lives. And I really believe, and I know that many will agree with me, that this really is what God is saying to us in this season that we are in. So I want to start by showing you a little video clip. Who of you are fans of Finding Nemo? Ah! Which year was Nemo released? Does anybody know? I think some of you were born in the year that Nemo came out. I was already big. Okay, so I just want to show you an image of clinging together. So enjoy it.
Nemo? Yay! Nemo?
Yay! Nemo for what?
Dory? Nemo!
Yay!
Nemo! I'm coming, Nemo!
Yay!
Nemo!
Yay!
Oh, thank goodness. It's all right, son. It's going to be okay.
Turn around! You're going the wrong way!
Swim down! Everybody swim down! Line, you have to swim down!
swimming. Just keep swimming.
Almost there. Keep swimming.
I know you wanted to see the rest of that. Okay. The power of unity, hey? It can break the plans of the enemy. I want to read to you a scripture that might be familiar to some of us from Psalm 133. Verse 1 to 3. This was David. You know, David had quite a hard time fleeing from Saul. And I know when you read the scriptures and you read the Psalms, you probably have noticed how difficult David's battle was and how he struggled and how he was literally fighting for his life and for the life of his men and the women and the children. And he had a very, very, very challenging and difficult journey. And finally, it all came together and David became king and all the tribes were united in David's kingdom. And then David was overjoyed and he wrote this, very beautiful. David said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Listen what it is like. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments." Then secondly, he says, "It is like the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." You know, when the kings in the Old Testament, when the kings were anointed to be king in Israel, they would use a specific perfume, a specific anointing oil. And that anointing oil had to be, the recipe for that, God gave specific instructions. If you ever thought that God is not a God of detail, you are very wrong. God is very much into detail. That is why when we do the Awaken Women's Conference, we focus on detail. Because that is the heart of God. And God gave specific instructions. And this perfume that they used when a king was anointed had a very, very distinct, beautiful, wonderful smell. Now, if you can think about a smell, I remember years ago in 1996, I think, or 1997, we had a 3-day fast, and it was on the third day of the fast, and we were very, very hungry. We were only drinking water. And then we had a Bible school teacher, and that was just when Bible school started out. I think it was 96. We were the very first Bible school group ever in Shofar. And there was this one Bible school teacher, and he wanted to explain to us what the Word of God was like. And he said, "The Word of God is like bread that was just baked, just fresh from the oven." And he would explain the smell, and he would explain everything about that bread. And eventually somebody put their hand up, and they said, "Please, can you shut up?" "We still need to go a couple of hours, and you cannot do this. It's torturing us." But if you just think about a smell and how distinct a smell can be, and the smell of this perfume, this anointing oil, would eliminate any other smell. It was a strong smell. And it was a beautiful smell. It was a wonderful smell. And everybody knew that this king was anointed. It was a special perfume. Now, David says, the unity of the brothers and the sisters, of you and I, of you and the person to your right and the person to your left and the person at your back and the person to your front. When we have unity, it is like that. It is like that oil, like that perfume. And every other smell, every other odor, whatever it may be, is eliminated. Every negativity, every battle and struggle is eliminated and almost in a sense overcome by the smell of this anointing oil, specially created by God for a special purpose. Then he moves on and he says, it is like the dew on the mountain. You know what the thing about dew is? I don't know if you have noticed. I'm sure you have. It is new every morning. It doesn't last throughout the day. It is there in the morning, and if you sleep late, you are going to miss it. You will only see it because it is fresh in the morning. And tomorrow morning, it will be there again. It is the same yet fresh. It is new every morning. The dew that we had this morning will not be there tomorrow morning. It will be new dew tomorrow morning. And David says, the unity of the brothers and the sisters in church is like this dew. It is the same, yet it is new every morning. It stays fresh. It stays pure. It stays clean. He says, if there is a unity like that, God is very happy, and God says, I cannot but bless you. My heart is overjoyed, and all I want to do is just bless you. You make me so happy. I have 5 children, and they are between the ages of 5 and 12. And we are working very hard on unity. And most days are quite challenging. I can say a lot, but I'm not going to say too much about that. But some days, I'm not sure why. It's probably just God giving me a break. Like this morning, I came into our living room. And not this morning, on Saturday morning. And I was very surprised that nobody woke us up. There was nothing going on. I thought something must be wrong. And I arrived in our living room, and there they were sitting. The three oldest children were sitting, and then the two little boys on the laps of 2 of them. And they covered them with blankets, the little ones, and they were holding onto them, and they were all watching a DVD together. Nobody came to ask us. They left us to sleep. They organized themselves, and they were really loving each other in a very physical way, and they were not fighting. And I looked at them, and I was thinking, I will do anything for you today. It makes my heart so happy when you have unity. Because when you have unity, we can go so much further as a family. We can reach higher heights once we are not fighting all the time about everything. And in the same way, God looks at us, his children, and he says, there's nothing that can make me happier. Nothing. And you know, when we look at our children, we love them equally. We honestly really do. And if one is doing well, we don't want it to be at the expense of another one. We never compare them. Never. We never ever say, but look how he did it. Why can you not do it in the same way? We'd rather say, you are not so good at that, but you are very good at this. And some of them are not, you know, there are children that are more gifted than others. But we will do whatever we can to make each one of them realize and understand how extremely precious they are and how much we love them, irrespective of their siblings. We love them all alike. And it is very important to us that they get along well, that they love each other. Because there's power in that, a lot of power in that, like we saw in Nemo. And God looks at us and he says the same thing. He says, it might look to you like I am favoring the one and not favoring the other one. But that is not true. God says some people are, I say, we can all see some people are more gifted than others. Some are prettier than others. That is just the reality of life. Some come from better homes, in safer, more loving homes than others. Some have better circumstances. That does not change the fact that God loves us equally. He has no favorites. And God decided that nothing on this earth will ever change unless his children are in unity about it. I don't know why he decided that. I will ask him one day in heaven. It's a very tough decision that God made. A very tough decision. And God says, you will learn how to swim together. Swim down. Swim down. Everybody. Everybody has to swim down. And some of us are at the top there, not being able to breathe, like Nemo and Dory going, because everybody is not swimming down. And God says, if you want to see change, you need to cling. And what I want to say this evening, and I'm really going to challenge us, and I want you to know I am challenging myself as much as I am challenging you, is we are very far away from that. And I'm going to show you why I say this. I want to read, sorry, I'm just skipping a couple of slides there. I want to read from the Acts Church, Acts 2, verse 44 to 47. Listen to this and think about it. All the believers were united and shared everything with one another. They made it their practice to sell their possessions and goods and to distribute the proceeds to anyone who was in need. United in purpose, they went to the temple every day, ate at each other's homes, and shared their food with glad and humble hearts. They were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Every day, the Lord was adding to their number those who were being saved. Ish. I've been looking at that scripture for many, many years. And I remember I was standing here on this pulpit. I cannot remember when, but it was right here in Bloemhof. And I read that scripture. And I remember that I said, I am not saying that we should do that. I am just reading what the word says. But I had to think a lot about this scripture. The problem that we have is if it is written in the word of God, there's nothing that we can do about it. It is there, it is written there. And the more I think about it, and I know this is true for many of us, the more I realize that we are putting culture above the word of God. Can I say that again? We are putting culture above the word of God. And we are saying, we are talking the talk, but we are not really, in this regard, walking the walk. And I was thinking the other day, say it would happen to us, and it is not happening, and I'm sure it won't happen. We are doing very well. But just as an example, say it would happen to us that we have no food in our house. Who would I phone? Who would I phone? Took me a long time to think who I would phone. And you know, the Word of God says, they added to the church, God added to the church daily those who were being saved. And the question is, how did they manage to get people to become born again daily and to be added to the church daily? How on earth did they do that? Now, we are getting very practical this evening. The Word of God says they will know you by what? They will know me by what? By your love for each other. They will know me by your love for each other. Can I tell you why people were added to the church daily? Because I know. They were added to the church daily because if they joined that group of people, they were safe. They were covered. They were cared for. They were not lonely. They didn't have to fear. Help was on the way 24/7. They never had this thing of who am I going to ask? How am I going to do this? Because whether they turned to the left or to the right or to the front or to the back, there was somebody who said, "How can I help you?" Because they had all things in common. So if you do not have a car, it is no problem. I have a car, or I will take you because I have a car. Food was no problem. They shared their food. They shared their homes. They shared everything. And they lived closely, intimately together. Very challenging. Now, in our culture, and I'm taking on a very big thing this evening, and I do not have it all figured out. I'm just sharing the Word of God and leaving it to all of us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But we need to speak about these things. And we live in a time where we live behind big fences, high fences. We have a high fence. On top of our fence, there's electric wiring. We are renting the house. We got it like that. So there's never anything stolen because nobody can get in there. And there's no bell. There's no bell. So the only way that you can come into our house is if you have a cell phone and if you have airtime and if we answer our phones. Because it's on Merriman Avenue. We will not hear you if you call. I forgot my key yesterday and I was standing there screaming my lungs out for I don't know how long until finally one of the kids saw me. There's no way that you can visit me and my family if you don't have a cell phone. Isn't that how it is these days? We live behind high fences. I'm not going to tell you what my salary is. It is very confidential, and you are not going to tell me. And I will invite you over, and please, people, I'm speaking about myself, Ria. We will invite you over once we can do a good meal and once I can impress you with my cooking skills and if my house is neat. And if you have problems, I'm so sorry, but I have so many problems of my own, I cannot help you right now. And I want to take your kids, but you know, I already have 5 in my home and another 2, that's stretching it a bit, hey? I just cleaned the house and they are just going to mess it up. So I'm sorry, but I cannot take your kids today. And I know your mother is sick in hospital, but I have so much work to do. And we are stuck in a culture so very far from the model that the Word of God gives us. And then we go to Africa missions and we come back and we are so excited because there were miracles And why don't we ever see it here? Well, I don't know, but I can tell you those people live the X life. They have all things in common. If I don't have Millie Meal, then I will go to my neighbor and they will share their Millie Meal with me, because otherwise my children will die of hunger. There is no fence. I can just walk. I don't need a cell phone. There is no bell. I can just walk and knock, or just walk in and I will be helped. And there's no shame in that to ask. And I look at us, the Western church, and I think, God, what are you going to do with us? And how are we going to change this? How are we going to change this? It is so easy for me to stand here and look great and speak eloquently, and I show you my best side, and I go home, and when I scream at my husband and scream at my kids and do whatever I do, my fence is so high, you will never know it. So you will never challenge me. My life is so isolated. I don't even realize how isolated it is, and you can never really challenge me on the real me. And we are not living like this. And if I don't come to church for weeks, in a couple of weeks in a row, nobody's going to phone me, because it's probably a private matter. None of this is the biblical way of doing it. None of it. And I look at this and I think, God, what on earth are we going to do? How are we going to change it? And I do not have the answer, but I think it's good to just put the question out there. I want to read to you what Jesus prayed for us. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for us, believers. And Jesus said, this is Jesus in the Gospel of John speaking to his Father God. He says, neither pray I for these alone, those are the 12 disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That is you and I. Jesus is praying for you and me. And he says, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I just want to stop there. Do you have any idea how intimate it is to be one? And Jesus, when he prays for us, he says, my God, my Father, I want you to help them to become one, because that will be the sign unto the world. I'm not speaking about a spiritual oneness. The people out there have no idea what that is. Makes no sense to them. So we are spiritually one. What does that mean? I'm speaking about the fact that we are part of a family. When I need you, you will be there. And when you need me, I will be there. That is what the world can understand. My baby is sick and I have to go to work and I have nobody to look after her. But my friend will sacrifice to look after my baby, because we are one. And there will be a lot of conflict, because where people are together, there is conflict. Welcome to the church. If there was no conflict, it would be plastic. So we work through it, like in a family, because we live closely. Jesus prays further. He says the same thing. He says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them. Do you understand in? Here's my hand, and here's my finger. I'm going to put my finger in my hand. Can you see? In. Okay. I in them, and you in me. that they may be made perfect in one. Listen to this. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. This was the prayer that Jesus prayed for us. He did not pray, "Oh God, let them have wonderful words of knowledge and words of wisdom." Of course we want that. We need that. We need that for the world out there. We need it for each other. He did not pray, "God, bless them with many beautiful spiritual blessings." He said, "Let them be one. Let them be a family. Let them move as one." Everybody swim down. If we all swim down together, and you may be that little Nemo. I feel like that little Nemo right now saying, "We all have to swim down. We all have to swim down. We all have to swim down." We must all start saying that. If we all say it, then everybody can hear it. Swim down, and nobody will be gasping at the top. There are people in our midst, in church. They are sitting, some of them, right here, right now. They cannot breathe. They cannot breathe. They are dying. They are, their souls are dying. Their spirits are dying. But we are not swimming down to create oxygen for them. To breathe. Because we don't listen to each other. And I don't know where, and I mean, I can speak to us here. I can speak to any good Western church in Stellenbosch. There are many, any wealthy. We are wealthy. If you have a house, if you have a car, if you have clothes, you are extremely wealthy compared to most people on this planet. You are very, very privileged. Please just know that. This message will go for all the wealthy churches out there. And I'm just wondering, when and how are we going to change? How and when are we going to change? And as I said, I don't have all the answers. But there are a lot of things that I understand that I know you understand as well. Once I was desperate before God, and I said, "God, where are you? And why can I not see you? And why can I not feel you?" I'm sure that you will agree with me. It is very hard when we are really experiencing pain in our hearts, emotional pain, and we cannot feel God. Hard, hey? Hard. That's why we bring a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice, by definition, is hard. It's not nice. It's not nice to sacrifice. It's not nice. We bring a sacrifice of praise. I said, "God, why can I not feel you? Why can I not see you? I don't like it that you are so far." And God said to me, "I am very near." I said, "You are not. I don't see you. Where are you? You are not near." I know the Bible says so, but I don't experience that right now. You are not near. God said, God took me to the scripture that says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." God said, "You have so many people that love you, that has Christ in them. Let them be my hands and my feet and my voice and my eyes." See? Christ in Mariet will bring me food if I don't have food. Christ in her will give me money. I am very straightforward this evening. When I need money, Christ in Irina will comfort me with her arms if I need comforting. Christ in Christu will pray for me if I need prayer. Christ in Mojalefa will give me a car, which he does very often when I need a car. A black one, a nice one. I like Mojalefa's car. Sometimes the door's stuck and I have to like get in on the other side, and it's very adventurous. I love that car because of the heart behind that car. I would say I would drive that car any day because of what it represents. God says, I am very near, but you don't get it. Because when you sit here and cry, you are behind your high fence and nobody knows. God says, I am very near all around you. But you know what we do? I look at Mariette and I think, oh no, but the other day it seemed like she ignored me and I can't receive from her. I don't know. See, God is very clever. I mean, we know that God is the cleverest, clever person. God decided, I will force them. I will force them to move together. Because that is how they will discover what love is. That is how they will discover what love is. Who of you are married? Yeah. Yay! Okay, we are about 10 people in this room that are married. Wow. Who of you are over 40 years old? 40 or over? Woohoo! Okay. I'm so happy that I'm not alone. Okay. I'm 40. Very proud of it. Where was I now? I completely lost what I wanted to say. Yes, marriage. You know, when you get married, and this is old news. It is wonderful. The wedding day is beautiful and wonderful, and the butterflies are there, and everything is there, and it is fantastic, and we should have it, and we should enjoy it. The honeymoon is wonderful. All of that is a blessing from God. But there comes a time, I guarantee you, young people, believe me, when there are no butterflies. None. Yeah. You look at that man or you look at that woman that you married. One morning you wake up and you look at them and you think, Nangi Christi. But why? You know, my husband was sitting on the bed yesterday, and I looked at him, and I was thinking, and he definitely thinks the same thing when he looks at me. I'm convinced of that. I looked at him, and I was thinking, you know, he doesn't have the body that he used to have when we got married. Like, really not at all anymore. Neither do I. Really not. But I looked at him and I was thinking, but I love him more than I've ever loved him ever before. And you see, this is the thing what God does. God wants to teach us what real love is. And that is why we have to stick. That is why when Christo wakes up and when I wake up and when everybody else here who are married, Dale and Nicole, whoever, I can't see the other people, Annelie, when we wake up and we look at that spouse and we say, we never say, we think, we think, but why? What was I thinking? Then God comes and God says, now you stick. Now you stick. Because now I am going to teach you what real love is. That is why I cannot go away from my husband and kiss another man. Because I am going to stick. Because now I am going to learn what love is. It is the same with the people that God puts around us. It is very easy to walk away when they start to see the real you. go and find another group of people. And when they start to see the real you, go and find another group of people. You can visit every church in this town. Wonderful. You will never grow. You can go to every wonderful event in this town and in Cape Town, and it is beautiful. You will never grow. You will never grow. You stick. I've been in this church, as I said, for 20 years. You stick. You see it through. Because this is covenant. You stick. And when your ugly self comes out, last year, Pastor Mac, I'm sure some of you will know him. I was working with him on something, and he told me to do something, and I said to him, how on earth do you think that I should do that as well? Are you out of your mind? I cannot do it. I will not do it. And Pastor Mac saw the ugliest me. No, not the ugliest me. There's a very uglier part. But he saw an ugly part of me. And I had to go. I couldn't walk away because I'm going to stick. I didn't go to leadership and say, I don't want to work with him anymore. I went to him and I said, Mac, I was very ugly. That was real. Forgive me. Sorry. No excuses. It was just, it was ugly. It was bad. It was, and we moved on. We move on. We move on. We stick. And God is speaking about a oneness that goes so much deeper than we have ever, I believe, experienced in the Western church. And when are we going to change? Now, Pastor Fred keeps on speaking about these people from, these refugees from Syria, I think. I'm not sure from where exactly he was referring to. And that they are dealing with the government trying to give those people permission to cross the border to South Africa and to take those families in, to take them in. And I looked at my husband and I said, are you ready to take a family in like that? And he looked at me for a long time and he said, I want to do it. I said, and so do I, but I'm not sure how we are going to cope with that. Because it takes faith. It takes faith to give food if you only have so much. It takes faith to give your car if you are not sure how that person is going to drive it. It takes faith to open your house up. It takes faith to open your heart. It's difficult if you have been hurt to trust again. It's difficult if you dealt with a Christian businessman and you were verneekt to do it again. Welcome to church. This is how we grow. This is how we grow. It takes faith. Without faith, there is nothing. God is tired. I think, I can't speak for God in this regard. I think God is tired of us wanting to stay in the safe, comfortable place. God says, for goodness sake, just open, just become like I tell you to become, and I can bless you. I can give to you. I can open. You know, we say these things, but we don't experience it. We speak about the open heavens. I haven't really seen it much. I'm so sorry, but I haven't. Heavens will open. Finances will come when we have to put our faith out for it. When I take a family in and now my food budget is in Sekanonen. Now I can say, God, I need to feed these people. Can you please send food? And Christ in Mariet will bring the food. And we don't see healings. We don't see deliverances that often. We don't see because I could be wrong. We don't live the life that He is calling us to live. And we miss it. And one day we will regret it. And we think, I know I need to do this, but I have to go now because I have this appointment. I know this is important, but I have to do this first. One day we are going to see we did everything that was urgent and nothing that was important. And we will regret it. we will regret it. And we need to change. We need to change. And my only desire this evening is that we will come before God and say, God, please help us. God, please help me. Please help me. Teach me. Teach me. I don't know how. I don't know exactly. I don't know. What I do know is I want to change. I desperately want to change. I want our family. I desperately want us to change. And you know, the amazing thing with God is His grace and His mercy. He's not looking at us this evening saying, you are a bad church. You don't live the Acts life. I condemn you. You are useless. That's what Satan says. That's what Satan says this evening. Satan says, you cannot get it right. You are just not making it. Just you will never amount to anything, you Western people, church, you wealthy people. God says, I've blessed you for a reason. I've given you a house and a car and nice food. If you have meat every day, blessed and privileged are you. If you have cheese and yogurt and fruit, you are very, very wealthy. You are. God says, it is my pleasure to bless you. It is my pleasure. I think God takes pleasure in giving me chocolate. God says, it is my pleasure. It is my good pleasure. But please, it is not just for you. And what God is saying to us is, all I need from you is to ask me. The Word of God says, if you need wisdom, what must you do? Does it say you must go sit on the mountain and go, hum? Does it say you must stand for an hour and wait for it to fall on you? No, it says, ask, ask, ask. If my kids want something, believe me, they ask. God says, ask me. And I am pleading with us as the Church of Christ this evening. Let's ask God to change us. And let us then choose to be changed. Let us ask God, God, how do you want me to change? The Word of God says, take your tent pegs, take them out, and put them further. In fact, God says, I will do it for you. Every baby that I had, my tent pegs went a little bit further. Now it's very far. Now God says, if I send a family to you to live with you, I'm going to lift those tent pegs. I'm going to put them even further. Do you know there's no limit to where those tent pegs can go? Because you and I are not alone if we live this. If we live this. If we live this, we are not alone. And there is no limit to where those tent pegs can go. The world out there, they are not interested in our spiritual songs and our words. They don't understand it. Speaking tongues, they run away. You never get them back here. They have no idea. They say, no, 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 that's very weird. Very, very weird. But let them see something that they can understand. Our love for each other. Our forgiveness towards each other. Our grace with each other. Let them see that. They can understand that. They want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of it. Let's show them, by the grace of God, the good news before we end off this evening. The good news is we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do the supernatural, like Superman. We have Superman. Can do anything. The Holy Spirit can enable us to do what we cannot do. And He will, if we ask. He will. He will do that. Wouldn't it be amazing if the people in this town say, well, we don't know about Shofar, they are a bit weird, but hey, man, If you become a part of them, they will look after you. And they will not expect anything back from you. They will look after you. They will care for you. They will, if you are sick, man, they will love you through it. If your child is sick, man, they will come and pray. If you are in hospital, they will take food to your family. If you don't have a car, they will take you. If you don't have food, man, they will shower you with food. If you are desperate and depressed, man, they will come and they will help you to finish that project, that deadline. They will come and help. If your car goes, I often get stuck without petrol. I don't know how on earth I do it, but I do it all the time. You can phone them. They will not be irritated with you. You can even make them angry. They will still, you can hurt them. They will still love you. They are weird. But man, you want to be a part of them. It is too good to be true. This is what we want them to say. This is what we want them to say. Can we stand? We can just close our eyes. Oh God, it is the most amazing thing to come to you, Lord, and always be loved. Oh God, we come and you love us, Lord, and even when we have sinned, even when you should be angry, even when you should be irritated, God, even when you should be disappointed, you love us, Lord. God, even if we don't get anything right and we come to you, you are so happy to see us, Lord, because you are love. And God, we know that you want us to be that way with each other, Lord. God, we know that as a church, God, we stand before you this evening and we are not getting it right, Lord. And so are many others, Lord, but we are not many others. We are us, Lord. We stand before you. We take responsibility. Shofar, we stand before you this evening, Father. Shofar Stellenbosch. And we are saying, God, we are not getting this right, Lord. God, we are so comfortable behind our high fences, Lord. And God, we don't know how to change it, Lord. We don't know, Lord. We don't know how to have all things in common. We don't know how to share everything, Lord. We don't know how to share our food. We don't know how to eat at each other's houses constantly. We don't know how to have a common purpose and pursue it. We don't know how to love each other unconditionally. God, we really, really battle. But Father, we do know that you are able to help us. God, we do know that when we ask you for your Holy Spirit, that you will send your Holy Spirit. You promise that. We have experienced it, Lord. We know that, God. We know that if we ask for wisdom, you will indeed give it. We know that, God. I want to extend an invitation this evening. I'm not going to call you to the front, but I want to ask you, if you are saying this evening, God, I want to change. I don't know how, but I want to change. Won't you just lift your hands up and your hand up in the air? Oh God, you see all these hands. Almost all the hands are up. You can put your hands down again. God, you see all these hands, Father. This is your bride. This is your church. This is your bride. I just feel that. I just sense that. I believe God is saying that this is just the next step to bring you to be without spot or wrinkle. God says, I'm purifying you, my bride. I'm cleansing you, my bride. I am making you beautiful. I'm giving you a heart that is white as snow, pure, beautiful. God says, you are so welcome in my presence. And I'm purifying you. Do not resist my purification, says the Lord. Do not resist my purification. I believe that God will start speaking to us in this week already. He will start speaking to us. He will say, share this or share that or phone this one or go to that one. And that we must be obedient because He's busy purifying us. God, this evening we thank you for the fire, Lord. We thank you, God, that the fire makes us very, very uncomfortable, Lord. And it hurts us, Lord. And we don't like it, God. But it is purification. And God, you say in your word that we should thank you for everything. In all circumstances, we should bring thanksgiving to you. God, as a church, this evening, we thank you for the fire. We thank you for the cleansing and the purification. We thank you for it, God, because you are making us beautiful. God, we thank you that you are making this pot in the potter's hand, the clay, that you are forming it into a beautiful vessel. I just see an image of a shofar, a ram's horn that is being formed in the potter's hand, like a clay vessel that represents the ram's horn, that looks like a ram's horn. And I just sense that God is saying, I am going to blow this trumpet so that everybody can see. And the way that I am going to do it is by you loving each other in this way. I want to pray a prayer, and if you are comfortable with this prayer, I want to ask you to pray after me. Oh God, I want to become a giver. I want to give food. I want to give money to those who need. I want to give clothes. I want to give shelter. I want to give transport. God, forgive me that I was too busy to see those who are in need of these things. God, I want to become a giver. Father, I want to speak to you about my time. Forgive me for saying that I have no time. Forgive me for being selfish. Father, I give you my time. You tell me how to use it. You tell me how to spend it. Father, I want to give my time to those around me who need it. Let's just lift our hands. Father, look at my hands. I give my hands to you to serve you. Father, my feet, my mouth, my eyes, my body, a living sacrifice, a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto you. Father, I give myself for you to use. Pour me out. Thank you, God, that when I am completely empty, depleted, with no resources and no energy, you will fill me again and my cup will overflow. Thank you, God, that the more I give, the more I will receive. In Jesus' name, Amen. Father, I just want to speak over us as a church and as a movement, Father, that you will bless us with all the finances that we need, because you will find us faithful. You will find us with an open hand and an open heart. And God, we thank you that all those promises that we have received will come to pass, and nations and generations will change, will inherit. We will inherit nations and generations, because you will give us all the resources that we need. Can we just agree upon this? In Jesus' name. Father, may you find us a faithful church, faithfully giving, God, our bodies, our resources, our time. And God, this is my last prayer this evening. When each one of us individually stand before you on that day, God, will you look at us and say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name. I have to do this. If you are here, give me another 5 minutes, please. If you are here this evening and you do not have a relationship with the sweet Lord Jesus, that will mean that you do not know the freedom that we were speaking about. That will mean that you are condemned and guilty. If that is you, we desperately want to pray with you, because your life will change once you become free, and you will become what God has created you to become. If you are here, if that is you, please, not much movement now. This is very important. Won't you take the hand of the person next to you, somebody that you feel safe with, and come to the front. I did that. Who else did that? Who here did that? In a public meeting. Who did it in a public meeting? Many of us whose lives have changed. Many of us, we did it. If that is you, we are going to give you a minute. Take the hand. I know your heart is beating. I know this is nerve-wracking, but I know that you sense here in your belly that this is going to be great. This is going to be an adventure. If that is you, please come now. Take the hand of that person and come. Yay! Is there somebody? That was a ministry facilitator. Yoo-hoo! Please come. Please come. Please come. If we can have ministry facilitators to pray with them. Let's just stretch our hands out to them before the ministry facilitators pray with them. Oh God, we bless these beautiful, beautiful people, God. God, thank you that they will always say on the 9th of August 2015, I became born again. Let's just clap again. Let's just applaud them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on that cross for them. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you, God, that they are free, just as we are free, Lord. Thank you, God, that their lives will change forever. In Jesus' name. Are there more people like that? Just pluck up all your courage and come. This is all worth it, I promise you. I've been serving God since I was 21, 20 years ago. It's all worth it. Is there anybody more like, anybody else like that? I'm going to ask the band if we can end in a song, any song that you pick and need. And I want to ask you, if you need prayer this evening, please come. We want to pray with you. Can the ministry facilitators please not leave? Just stay and see if there are people who need prayer. We want to pray with you. And while we pray with you, can we end in a song just to worship our God? Can we do that? Amen.